live so bad you wanna die. Ever cried and cried until you can't cry. Like, why am I alive? What's the purpose to life? Ever wanna live so bad you wanna die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry? Like, why am I alive? What's the purpose to life?
Living. Hi, welcome to Boys Don't
Cry. Boys Do Cry.
Boys Do Cry. I need to stop saying Boys Don't Cry, but because Boys Do Cry, this is our podcast
about mental health.
About mental health. My name is Ram Reyes.
I am Paulina Rodriguez, and aka El Nopal Verde
on Instagram. That's your name, or
that's my identity now.
Is that your identity now?
Yeah,
okay,
I am the green cactus.
I thought it was just Instagram name, but we are students. I'm at Fresno State, and you are
Fresno City.
Yes, yeah, so she's still at Fresno City, and this is a mental health podcast. We basically are going to talk about mental health, talk about our struggles. We will invite people soon on this podcast to talk about, you know, all sorts of things like depression, anxiety, all the other fun stuff, bipolar disorder.
I feel like I want to do
literally anything.
Schizophrenia.
Schizophrenia. Yeah.
Those are scary. I feel like everybody's kind of scared of those.
Yeah,
depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more normalized, but
yeah,
everything else, not really.
Yeah. Basically, we're doing this because we want to start conversations about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't like talking about it. It's uncomfortable. I'm kind of used to it. Talking about it because I struggle with it. But why do you think we're doing this?
For me, I realized that it's not easy for me to just be like, hey, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Or it's very hard to broach the topics that I want to talk about a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to give a space for people to come in and to feel comfortable and to feel like they can be honest.
Yeah.
And just to create a space of healing, I would say.
Basically free therapy. So if you want free therapy, get on our podcast.
Yeah.
That should have been the title. Free therapy.
Free therapy.
Yeah. Come on the podcast. Tell me your problem. Tell your problems to the two people that listen to this, that will listen to this,
yeah.
Which is me and Pauline. Just us.
Yeah. Also, I feel like a lot of the things that I do, I feel like they stem from like when you feel alone and alienated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And just to make people feel like they're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. That like depression or anxiety or whatever you have in your head.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you're the only one feeling it. But then when you hear somebody like going through it, it just feels so much better. Like, I'm not alone in this. I'm not like crazy, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And like that you could talk about it, that what you're feeling is okay. You know, well, you could feel these things and not beat yourself up about it.
Yeah. And also, boys do cry.
Boys
with a Z. Is gender neutral.
Yeah, it's gender neutral.
We have claimed it here.
We're reclaiming the term boys.
We don't believe in the binary.
We don't believe in the binary. And we believe that you could cry. Basically, anyone could cry. I love crying.
I find it really hard to cry. But
really?
I try.
I cry at least every month. I cry in therapy. I cry in normal places.
I only cry in therapy.
Oh, I cry during meditation.
You're living the life.
I try not to because I'm not supposed to focus on any like emotion. I should just let it pass. So sometimes I would just let it pass. But it's too much focused energy that like, oh God, like I'm alone with this one feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy. But we should talk about we should talk about like who we are. Like, oh yeah, we are not mental health professionals at all.
Maybe one day.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of wish I was a therapist.
I mean, I've watched enough Oprah Super Soul Conversations. I feel like I'm pretty good. I have all the knowledge that Oprah has bestowed upon me.
Yeah. We are just two students that have been through shit like you are. You listen to this, you've been through shit, and I think you just need to have an open mind and open ear. Is that a is that a phrase?
I think I had this realization that everybody I know is in therapy.
That's
and
good.
Everybody I know, or if they're not in therapy, they're dealing with some mental health issue.
Yeah.
And I'm like why am I in this space right now?
Yeah.
But I feel like just to have those conversations would be very important. And yeah, to give people that platform to just say what they're feeling.
Exactly. We just don't want you to feel alone. We want you to be comfortable talking about it with anybody. Or not anybody, but like opening yourself up to other people. And that's it's hard and scary, but it is worth it. Well, I guess we should talk about our experiences. Do you want to start or?
Mine is hard. I feel like same. Where do I start? Well, the main thing that I have been through is like sexual trauma, like childhood trauma. I think I didn't really see myself as a victim until last year. Mm-hmm. And what I struggled with was like the trauma kind of like I had memories, but I didn't have the feeling. You know, like when I would talk about things or I thought I had like surpassed it. But really what I came to learn was that I had numbed a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great one. I would say I dissociated like throughout my whole life.
Yeah.
And not like in the terms of like I didn't know what reality was. It was just that I just remember always since I was little daydreaming constantly. Mm-hmm. And that was like my escape mechanism. Oh. And until last year, I was coming to a lot of realizations and I realized I was like, that's something I use to like not deal with my shit.
Yeah. It spilled over into your other.
Yeah.
You think it spilled over like that?
It just like didn't allow myself to see my life clearly. So even mm-hmm. though I was depressed and I was going through a lot of like things, I couldn't see them because I was like daydreaming. Oh, so they didn't fully feel real. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mine was just a lot of sexual trauma. I was 6 and then when I was 13, something else happened with my uncle. And then when I went to college, I got roofied.
Oh, shit.
My first college party.
What?
Yeah, nothing happened that time, but just the experience and then.
Damn.
Yeah. There's a lot of blame.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the this is what we're trying to do on this podcast because everyone's experience is different and just sharing these experiences and having someone else hear it like you hear somebody that went through something similar to you just makes you feel a little bit better or like just I don't know better but makes you feel less alone basically and like there's people that are out there you know struggling and you know living and that's good to know that like oh if they could do it I can do it too. For me I just had very turbulent childhood. I see. We're going to talk a lot about childhood.
It's just going to be a childhood
I think
podcast.
I'm going to ask every guest we have, like, how was your childhood? What's your relationship with your mom? Dude, straight up, like, here, I'll tell one of my therapy stories. The first time I went to therapy, my first therapist, which is, we're at Fresno City right now, and the psych service is down the hall. And I went. And literally the first question, because I was just having like, maybe I'll talk about this in the future, but it's basically something with a girl. And he immediately asked, what's your relationship with your mother? And then I was like, and I started crying. I was like, I don't want to talk about this. But basically, you know, I am Filipino and a lot of Filipino parents like abuse their kid or like they just like spank them kind of like to discipline them. And I went through a lot of that and that really fucked up how I saw my self-worth and what I do in my life. I mean, I'm dealing with it. I've dealt with it. I've actually confronted my parents about it and they're cool with it. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the in-depth with that later, but it's just, and then moving a lot, like I moved out of the Philippines when I was 7. I moved to the Middle East, lived there for 5 years. So I didn't have a lot of friends growing up or I would have to leave everybody. I left all my family because my mom's side of the family, they basically raised me and then I left. And then there's a lot of guilt and shame built into that. Like I didn't have a choice, but I still feel that way for some reason. And then I moved to America when I was like 13 and I was in middle school and that shit sucked. You just get, you feel so ostracized. I have like body image issues too. Like I used to be really fat. Now I'm not. And I think I have body dysmorphia, but these are all topics that we'll get into. Maybe we'll invite a guest to
just like a full.
Yeah, I'd be like, all right, let's talk about this. And like, how do you deal with it? How do I deal with it? Mm-hmm. I also have like, I guess, depression and anxiety. I'm on medication right now. I'm on Zoloft. I'm on 150 milligrams. It's working pretty well. I can talk about that too. So these are all like, I go to therapy every other week. It's pretty cool. Therapy's dope. So that's basically where I'm at right now. So,
yeah. How do you feel when you go to therapy? Because when I go to therapy, I'm like, no, like,
really?
I know it's really good for me and I know it works and I'm there for it. But like, before I go, I'm like, yes, I'm gonna talk about this and this and that. Yeah. And as soon as I get there, it's just like my body just like wants to like run away. Really? And it's like, all the walls just come back up. Like I'll cry, but I'm not having a fun time while I'm doing it.
Mm. Well, at least you have an outlet to cry there. I mean, that's what therapy is. It's just a safe space to basically say whatever you want. When I go to therapy, I'm very open when I'm in therapy. Like, not like I'm not open in real life, but when I first started, I kind of just didn't have a place to like say my shit. But yeah, I think the key to therapy is being honest, but that's really hard for some people. And sometimes you don't vibe well with your therapist because I don't know, there's a myriad of reasons. So you don't have to stick with one therapist. You could always go with another one. And that's, I've been very lucky in that most of the therapists I've been to have kind of clicked. But yeah, I think
it's hard.
It is hard. Like it's, and sometimes you like have realization in therapy that like, oh, whoa, what was that? Like, yeah, they're just there to listen, honestly. So it's mostly you doing the work on like, they're just there to like kind of listen to you.
I think what I realized is that trust is not something that like comes easy to me. Like it's very hard for me to trust people. And I think it definitely stems from my childhood because I'm like, the people that are supposed to love you and care about you and that are your family and that you kind of give your trust, like, like 6 years old, you like don't have any concept of like anything else. And it's like, and then they're the ones that broke your trust.
Exactly. And then you know, that permeates through your entire, every relationship you ever have afterwards. And it's really difficult. And then, childhood, this makes me scared to be a parent. I'm like, oh,
you gotta watch your child.
I'm like, I'm gonna mess this one up. But yeah, childhood's tough, man. I don't know. It's not even like, here's what one of my therapists told me one time, that your parents didn't make you, or they didn't like have you just so they could like abuse you, I guess. Although that's just from my perspective, thinking about that now, like what if like they didn't want to have you? I mean, that's awful to say, but like, I guess that doesn't work in that case. But if they really didn't want you, they could have gotten an abortion, you know, they could have done a lot of things. So they brought you into this life to not abuse you, basically. That's what he told me. And I'm like, you're true. And I've come to realize that your parents are just people too. It's kind of weird. And I guess you got to learn to forgive, which even though it's kind of hard sometimes, especially if they've done something really, really horrible. But if you think about it, like every human is like flawed in some way and they were doing the best they can. In my case, like I was thinking about it, like they were like 28, 30. No, they had me when they were 23. And I was like, I'm 23 right now. I can't imagine having a baby and be like, oh, I got to go move to another country, this 4-year-old that won't stop fucking crying. I'm like, I'm not saying you should beat your child, but like, I get it. You guys were under stress. You guys left your homeland. Yeah. We're in a weird country and I'm over here messing your whole apartment up, being a little brat. Not saying you should beat your children, but I understand a little bit why they did it.
I think it's just like people don't take the time to listen. Or really pay attention to their children sometimes. Like I know when I was a child, like that's how I knew, that was the only way I could express myself when I was little. Like I was just angry or I would like act out at my grandma or my mom or something. But it was like literally because I was in so much pain Because I moved here too from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then my mom.
What age did you move here?
I moved here, I think, when I was nine. Or 10. Okay. Ooh, and next. Then my parents got a divorce too. Oh, shit. And it was just like bad
what?
Circumstances. But it was like, I was in so much pain and I didn't know how to express it.
I mean, you're nine. That's, or like, it's, yeah, it's kind of like we carry all this trauma from like childhood.
Yeah. And then
we don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. And then I was six when it happened, like the first thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
So I was already like kind of fucked up from that.
Yeah. And we don't know how to.
And yep. My family, like the way my mom dealt with it too, was like punishment and stuff. But then that makes you feel like you can't go to your family,
yeah,
and talk about things. And you just continually like internalize all those emotions.
Mm. Yeah. And you just have to like kind of deal with it. I read like a quote. I don't know if, tell me what you think about this quote, where it's like, pain is passed down from one generation to the next until one generation decides to feel it.
Dude, I totally feel that. Yeah. I feel like that was me for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're here to stop that pain. We're here to feel the pain. Ooh, that should be the name. Feel the pain.
Like feel the burn.
Yeah, but because if you like pass on, like, mm-hmm. like I get why my parents, I guess.
Generational trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's passed on. And what their parents did to their kids, or what their parents did to them, they're going to do to their kids. Mm-hmm. And then the cycle continues, but we're here to break that cycle.
That's so true. I had a conversation about my mom when I first came back. And like, she kind of said that when she was little, like my grandma used to beat her like a lot. Mm-hmm. That's not how I envisioned my grandma like at all.
Really?
But she was like, yeah, I just never understood when I was little why she would hit me so much and always me. And then she was like, I remember this one time she grabbed like this stick thing, just started beating me with it. And then I'm like, my mom was kind of mean when we lived in Mexico, but yeah. She was dealing with like all the shit from my dad.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's what her mom taught her.
Yeah, I think that's the same with my parents. Mm-hmm. Filipino Mexican culture have that similar vein. I'm gonna freaking
to beat it,
dude. Yeah. What was the
beat?
Hey, we're here to talk about the hard stuff, like, and kind of laugh at it. Cause yeah.
I was gonna say Maya Angelou says, "If you don't laugh, you'll die."
Yeah, we're here to laugh and cry. There will be tears shed on this podcast at one point or another.
Yeah, we're buttering ourselves up.
Yeah, this is us preparing. That's why we're telling you all this stuff. Like, we want you to know that I think by us sharing our mm-hmm. stories, more people will be more open to, you know, come talk mm-hmm. to us and, you know, tell us their story. Mm-hmm. But I was going to ask, what's the worst thing your parents like hit you with?
I think it was just, my mom used to have like those wooden spoons, and we lived in Mexico, so those were some legit wooden spoons.
Oh shit.
They weren't like some Walmart brand. Yeah.
Yeah. The worst. Oh man.
Mine wasn't too bad, but
mine was fucking bad. Like, I remember dad, the belt, man. Belt's the worst.
Oh yeah, it is.
Fuck that belt. Like, just thinking about it makes me like, God, don't spank your kids. Please don't spank your kids. You could discipline them in any other way.
Just like a little nalgada, just a little tap.
But yeah, don't just like a little tap.
Don't use your full force.
Don't use your full force. They are fragile. I don't know how I'm standing here today, but God, there was the, it's the belt. Sometimes they would use the freaking, the one with the buckle.
Dang.
But that only happened once, I think, but. And this is so fucked because me and my brother would get spanked at the same time sometimes. And when it sits there, I'm like, oh, that sucks, dude. Like, I got my spanking. I'm done. Mm-hmm. But that's over with. But that just having that, your authority figure, the person that's supposed to give you love, right? And, you know, supposed to care for you, and then also the same people that hurt you. Mm-hmm. That leads to so much shit in, like, in your other relationships, like, especially like romantic ones, or intimate, like just any intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. It just fucks up your perception so badly. And I'm still dealing with it today. Mm-hmm. Like, that could be a whole episode. Like, there's so many episode ideas we have right now, guys. But you guys could send in your own ideas. What do you guys want us to talk about? Mm-hmm. With this podcast, we want to give you tips give you insight. We're trying to get like a real psychologist, anyone, spiritual stuff. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of things in the name of
better, healing.
In healing and self-destruction.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a whole
self-destruction.
God, there's so many topics in this thing. I want to talk
limitless.
About, I know, because and if I do bad shit outside of the podcast, to support more content. I will be the guinea pig. I will fuck my life up just for y'all.
We learned the ultimate scam.
Yeah. Wait. Also, hopefully, people who are younger. I'm 23. How old are you?
21.
Oh, well, we want younger people, especially younger people, to learn to know before.
So what do you feel you've learned so far? Like, so you've been to therapy. What have you?
Well, I've learned that we need to learn to forgive ourselves, which is the hardest part. And I don't know how to forgive myself. I can forgive other people, but I can't forgive myself. I think I actually figured this out about myself, that when I was always goes back to childhood. See, guys, you guys got to really look deep in your childhood, because there's so much shit that's like taking
it's like control. A treasure hunt, really.
It is, but we're like, instead of treasure, it's just trauma.
Yeah.
Oh, trauma hunt. I'm going to look for that trauma. And then, okay, basically my parents, because I'm Asian, they valued academics. And all that mattered was grades. Mm-hmm. And if I did good, I wouldn't get like love per se. I would get rewards. Mm-hmm. For example, I would get KFC if I got an A. And then that's how I became fat and obese when I was a little kid. But and that like tied, like I thought that was love. That was their way of showing love, I guess. There's, I should look that up. There's like five love languages. I guess that's my parents. I don't know what their love language is. Mm-hmm. But that's not what I wanted. I wanted to like, for my parents to like say they're proud of me. But now I do get that, and it's like uncomfortable. And I'm like,
you're like, I don't deserve this. This is
that. And yeah, it is weird. And like, I don't deserve it. I was like, what are you doing? Like, this is not what you guys do all the time. So yeah. And what are we talking about?
I said, what did you learn?
Oh, what did I learn? Oh yeah. I learned forgiveness. So you got to forgive yourself. Oh no. Here I was getting to the point where, and when they would scream at me, cause they were like, tell me that I'm dumb or something like that. Like, that voice is gone now. They don't say that to me anymore. But now I've like internalized that voice. Mm-hmm. Like their voice became my voice in my head, that like, you're a piece of shit. You can't do anything right. Or this is not good enough. This is not good enough. Like it kind of, from a long time ago, what they instilled in me stayed with me. Mm-hmm. And I can't get it out. Like, cause this keeps saying like, oh, you're not doing things right. Mm-hmm. And that's, but basically you gotta forgive yourself. I forgave myself for every past version of myself, saying like, you did your best with what you had. Mm-hmm. You're fine. That's the biggest thing I've learned. How about you? What have you learned?
I think forgiveness is hard for me too.
Yeah.
Or just like,
especially yourself.
Self-worth, I think, is the biggest one. I think I always felt like there was, like, I was wrong, or there was something wrong. Or like, I realized recently my biggest triggers is like when I hurt someone or I do something bad, it's like it triggers something. And it does go back to childhood. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I was 6 and like, it was me and my cousin, and things are happening. And then my grandma found the both of us. She was so angry, and I like didn't understand what was going on, really, because I felt in my mind it was a game. Mm. And I remember she like took both of us and she just started hitting me. She just started like beating me, and I was put in a corner, and like I was grounded because I had done something wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was 6 years old, and I don't think she understood exactly what was happening, because I talked to her later. But like that in my mind, I'm like, I did something wrong, you know, I did something wrong. And when somebody was hurting me, And then I remember he used to give me like a Game Boy to like distract me. Mm-hmm. And I remember when my grandma found us, it dropped and it broke. And I remember his brothers telling me like that I owed him a Game Boy.
What the fuck?
And I remember like saving my money to buy him a Game Boy. And I also remember that day, like after like being hit and punished and everything, like that everybody was like suddenly all angry with me. Nobody was talking to me. And when you're six, you don't really understand. Mm-hmm. Like your cousin, you were like their favorite person and now nobody wants to talk to you. And I remember I wrote a letter apologizing and just what? Like, I don't know. Like, and I think that has always been tied to me that like I did something wrong or like to forgive myself is very hard.
Yeah.
Cause that's like, that's what I started with. Like those were my starting cards in life. Like that's shitty. Yeah.
That is. Wait, I was going to ask you relating to that. Mm-hmm. What was I going to ask? Oh, yeah. When somebody, do you think sometimes you kind of punish yourself?
Yeah.
Especially when you didn't even do anything or like, I don't know how to phrase this. Like you punish yourself for, because nobody else is or something, or like nobody's punishing you now, but now you kind of do it to yourself.
Like, I would say like I'm just very hard on myself.
Yeah.
And if I do something wrong or something, or like maybe I said something and it was kind of like mean to someone, yeah. I didn't mean it. Like it's like everything freaks out.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I can't believe I hurt someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you kind of, it's kind of like what they did to you, kind of like you internalize it, right?
Yeah, I think for me it was just like that feeling when I was six, even though I didn't feel it necessarily, because like I think that's when I started like escaping in my mind, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think something just registered in my mind that whenever that feeling was there, that's when like I feel the most desperate. I think in my life when I've had like suicide triggers or mm-hmm. like close to that, it's always been like I did something. And it's reinforced that since I was a child.
Yeah. Mm. Raise your kids right, guys. don't beat them. But damn.
So yeah, forgiveness is hard.
Yeah, it really is. Like, especially for yourself. I think it's more like forgiveness for yourself that like you did nothing wrong. You know, like you were just a kid and you shouldn't beat yourself up so much about it.
I think that's the hardest thing like, that I had to learn.
Yeah.
I really understand that like when you go to therapy or just talking about it, when they tell you like you were just a kid.
Yeah.
Like you were you innocent.
You didn't know any better.
Like you didn't do anything wrong. People just did this to you.
Yeah. People broke. Everyone fucked up the adults. They're not fucked up, but they're like, they're just humans that mm-hmm. will do bad things sometimes. But it's not... You can't keep holding on to it, you know, like it's, I mean, obviously that's easier said than done, mm-hmm. but in the end, it's like, you're the one living your life. You can't let these things kind of bother you.
Yeah. You eventually have to feel them.
Yeah. Eventually you have to feel them. It's scary.
Yeah. I learned, what was it? You have to feel pain demands to be felt. That's what I learned. That was the first thing I learned.
I've literally said... That's from like John Green's book.
Really?
Yeah, but I...
John Green, I wrote it first. I thought it first.
I thought that too. Something... I don't know why I was saying that to somebody, but then somebody called me out on it. I was just like, dude, that's from fucking John Green. I was like, yeah, so it's true. Pain does demand to be felt. And we're feeling it right now on this podcast. Feeling all the pain. Oh.
Seriously, dude. When I first had, last year I had like a mental breakdown. It was just like, my trauma finally hit me because I was like, I'm ready to feel this. Don't say you're ready.
You're not ready.
Until you're truly ready, because life will just give you everything and you're just like, wow.
You're never ready for it. It's,
I know.
Well, which makes sense, or which I think we should talk about like trying to get help. Because, or like your first steps into healing, basically. How did you start? Like,
what kind of happened was just like the friends I was around, all my friends were getting help and going to therapy. And I always felt like I had to be there for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I was always neglecting myself. And my friend, one of my close friends, he was just like, you need to go to therapy. Cause like I had a flashback of a memory and I told him, and he was like, you don't understand. Like trauma is very complex. Like you need to go to therapy. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. Stay in your own lane. But I was smoking a lot of weed. And I think it was opening my mind. And I think for once I just was like, I'm not okay. And I don't want to be okay. I want to cry and I want to break down.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be there for anybody else. I want someone to be there for me.
Yeah.
And it was a process until like, I think it took a few months.
When was this?
Last year.
Spring. Okay.
I took an intense edible. And I was like, when I took it, I was like, I know I'm going to find exactly what I'm looking for. I just had that feeling.
Yeah.
And I went to this intense concert and I was like, I found God.
Was God there? Was God?
I think I really was just looking for myself this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had like deviated so much from who I was, and I finally saw it. Like something just broke, and I just had intense panic attacks because I think the trauma, like whatever wall I had, it just crumbled, and I was like, I can't function. I need to go to therapy. I need to go home. I'm not okay.
There's always that breaking point.
Yeah, I for sure had a breaking point.
It's like, ooh, that's bad.
Yeah, I had to go on medical leave for school. Damn. I couldn't finish the semester.
Oh, yeah, I did that too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta burn the whole thing down.
That's what my motto. I was like, I am a phoenix. I will rise from the ashes. I am a Scorpio. Don't you know this is who I am?
Are you a Scorpio?
I am.
Oh my God. Okay. Every person that I collaborate with
is a Scorpio,
and you guys are just trouble. I'm a Gemini, by the way, and Geminis and Scorpios are just trouble. Like every Scorpio I know, it's like I love being friends with them, but y'all are the worst.
I feel like I am an unproblematic Scorpio. I think
the Scorpios are very problematic.
I feel like I am giving him a good rap.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Polina's the best Scorpio I've ever met. Sorry, yeah. Samantha. She's the best Scorpio I've met.
Yeah, my personality is like, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to drop out of school. I'm going to go back home. It like happened in like the span of 2 days. I was just like, I'm dropping out. I thought I'd face a demon ram. It was intense. It was an experience.
You're facing your demons.
Yeah.
Demon.
I thought there was a demon in my apartment after that.
Oh wait, like a literal demon?
Yeah, I felt like something so terrible in our apartment. Like I was just frightened. Shit. And I didn't realize that it was my emotions and my trauma like finally surfacing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I left my apartment for 3 days, stayed with my friend, and then I was studying for a final, and then I just was sitting and thinking. I was like, who's the one that's kind of failing her classes and who isn't feeling okay? And I just kept thinking and thinking. I'm like, that shit is mine. And then I went to my apartment, I went inside, and I was just like, I'm sorry I treated you this way, because it was just hate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's how I feel about myself. I hate myself. I hate my life.
I also hate myself.
Not anymore.
A little bit less, but you know, I'm learning to love myself, especially the parts that I hate.
Yeah.
Like I don't like, although the more you suppress that shit, cause like recently I've been like, ooh, I'm doing good. Well, I'm like, I'm going to therapy, taking antidepressants. I'm like I've accepted that, like, yeah, my self-worth, but there's like that part of me that I just kind of ignored. And then it would like manifest
it's
itself.
It's your Gemini side.
I know the Gemini side of myself, like, decided like, oh, sup bitch, I'm still here. You thought you got rid of me? And like, oh, and then I ruined things.
See that you feel like it's like a dark side and that it's your bad part, but I really think it's just your hurt part. It's just a part that acts out.
Yeah, it is.
Not
it's
in the best way,
it is,
but it's just triggered.
I think it's because I don't embrace it, you know, like I don't.
It's your inner child, fam.
Inner child. Ooh, if you guys want a good exercise to do, we should tell people what to do at the end of it, like to help. Well, it's not the end yet. We have like a little bit more time. But here's an exercise that you could do right now after this podcast. Go sit down somewhere quiet and then just kind of like pretend you're going to meditate, but don't meditate. Well, actually meditate on this. Go close your eyes and then think about your inner child. Just try to summon that inner child.
Kind of like a demon. Get a Ouija board.
No, but just try to talk to your inner child. Just try to picture your younger self and you will find something there that you have not thought about in a while.
You know, but like in the first times I did it, I would just find myself, find a child crying.
Oh yeah. I cried immediately. As soon as I sat down to do this, I cried. I was like, oh God, like I am so sorry for like, I've ignored my inner child so long.
Yeah, dude, that's how I feel. Like that. I feel like you ignore it because you don't want to feel vulnerable or weak how you did exactly. in that moment. So you just like
I'm not that anymore.
Yeah, you shut that door out, but it's like, well, you need that vulnerability. Yeah,
I want that childlike wonder, like childlike wonder of the world where it's like everything's great and or not great, but like you're so curious. You have so much like motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, it's starting to make sense now. Like the youth is wasted on the young because younger people is like, I can't wait to grow up. But I'm like, no, nah, dude, you have so much energy. You have so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have all this shit to worry about. Use it to do whatever you want, which is, you probably don't know what that is. But, oh yeah, I want to talk about, oh, well, you talked about your starting your therapy.
I think, honestly, therapy, you can't force it on people. Even
oh, yeah.
Though you know, they're like, you should go to therapy. Like,
oh.
You'll reach a point where you'll know when it's your time.
Here's the problem with that is that I know there's, I suggest it to everybody, like, you should go to therapy, you should go to therapy. And I'm not forcing it on anybody, but I kindly suggest it all the time. Maybe a little bit too annoying, but but it's like, you don't have to get to the point where it's, where you're crumbling down and destroying. Like, you don't have to be at that place. Like, you really don't. And I know that, but at the same time, people will get help when they're ready, you know, like it's not up to us. It's not up to other people to force other people to therapy. It's up to their own decision.
Yeah.
And obviously you gotta respect that, but they will seek help when they're ready. They just need to be comfortable. You kind of just kind of like trying to picture like a scared dog that like you can't force it to like come over and like, but it'll eventually.
You'll eventually,
you know, eventually come out of its shell, and slowly but surely you will. But you have to make, you have to just be there to be like, it's safe. It's fine.
I think like I finally like was like, I trusted it because I saw how my friend changed after like 2 years, how much it helped him. And I was like,
yeah.
And then I felt like I could like be that vulnerable and trust it. It took a lot for me.
And you help other people because you're like, oh, if they could be open and vulnerable, like we are right now, like we're talking about this stuff, then feel free to talk about any of your traumas or things. Do you need to get off your chest? It doesn't have to be like some, it doesn't even have to be like, you don't have to talk about your childhood trauma if you're not ready, but it could just be anything that you're pissed off right now. We will probably talk about things you're pissed off that happened like, today or tomorrow, yesterday, whatever.
Yeah, just like not a rant. I don't want it to just give people bad shit out there.
Oh yeah, no, don't rant. But like, this is a space to just kind of say what you want. Obviously, but we'll control it.
Yeah, we are surrounded by plants.
Plants, we have like three
we
plants.
We have healing. I should just like bring sage and like some crystals.
Get some incest, incense. Oh, whoa, no. Freudian slip. No, incense. Get that nice tea smell. But
yeah. I would say also another thing that can help, like if you don't want to go to therapy, if you can't afford it, journaling.
Yeah, journaling. Yeah.
That's how I started.
Meditating, running.
Journaling is how, before I went to therapy, I would just write. And I never had written in my life. And like, I just started writing like poetry or just things like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I felt this way. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. When I have my old journals, I would sometimes go through it for fun. And I'm like, damn, this shit is sad. I hope this guy gets better. I'm like, oh, wow, this is some sad shit.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy? And I was like, some of the poetry was so edgy. And I'm like, this is some edgy poetry, but it was good. But I'm like, especially when like, the things that I wrote about in that journal was like, this is solved already. But I'm like, for my past me, it was the only problem that he had. I'll talk about that in a future episode. But yeah.
Do something that helps you like release.
Yeah. Journaling. Yeah. You need to get it out of your system because you can't let it sit within your mind because it's just gonna, that's what it wants, dude. Like it wants to stay in your head. Like it doesn't want you to tell other people, it doesn't want you to put it in a book or like a book, a journal, like literally do anything, run, scream, breathe really hard, just feel it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is hard. I know. Like whenever you hear people say, just do this, it's, I'm having this struggle too. Cause sometimes I would instantaneously like have like a revelation. I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, mm-hmm. but I know you can't get it cause you're in a fog. And I understand like you're in a fog of whatever. You can't see these things in front of you. Mm-hmm. You can't see that. Like, I obviously, like, I don't know how to just snap out of it. Like when people say just snap out of it, like that's stupid, but it's cause they can't see the way. They're literally blind. Like their perspective, like, mental illness like literally warps your perception of reality.
That is so true.
So it's very hard, and I get it. And I think people who are never experienced it don't understand that. Mm-hmm. That like, dude, their definition of whatever you think of is like so different from yours. Mm-hmm. And it's just like coming to understanding of where everybody came from, like what's everyone's experience, and some clashing of that, and it's hard.
You know, I just had, as Oprah calls them, an aha moment.
Oh, what did you have? What's the aha moment?
Or does she call it a tweetable moment? I don't know.
Tweetable
an aha moment when she has an epiphany that you're like, mental illness or like depression is a fog. Cause I was in that.
Yeah.
Like I didn't see it. Fog. I never thought I had depression. Like,
oh yeah.
Even
I always say that's a sign of depression.
Literally. I think it was not last summer. The summer before that was like the lowest. Like I remember my sophomore year at Halloween, I threw a drink at my friend because I was going through some things and I was just really drunk. But I couldn't stand that emotion and I just started shutting myself down. And like, I remember my second semester, I failed all my classes. I wasn't going to class. I was just sleeping.
Dude, that's
I was
the best.
Just taking like Benadryl, sleeping more.
Dude, I used to use NyQuil.
Yeah.
I want to sleep.
But like, then that summer, all I did when I came here, I was just taking Benadryl and smoking weed, and that was it. And I didn't think that was depression. I wasn't working. I wasn't doing anything. And then when I went back to school, I thought like everything magically changed because new environment, I'm doing things. But like I was still in that fog and I couldn't see that I needed help.
Yeah.
That I wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And it took literally that mental breakdown because like I remember going to this concert with my friend and I think I was already in that space like and I didn't realize it. And I had like the most intense panic attack and I just cried and I cried and I cried the whole night because I felt everything. But like when I felt the pain, it was like that fog just lifted and I could finally see clearly. Yeah. I could finally see like that I wasn't okay and where my life was.
Yeah. And you see, there's a lot of work to be done. Like, it's like, oh my God, what is this rubble?
Yeah. I was like, wow, everything's on fire.
I was like, this is not okay.
Who am I anymore?
Who is, what is this? But
just allowing yourself to feel.
That's the biggest gift you can give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To feel. And I remember, you funny you talk about like just failing classes. I remember when I first started going to therapy, I like made a, what's it called? An appointment with the psych services here at City.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I missed the call and they left a message and they're like, give us a call if you want an appointment. And I thought a long time, like I could not call them. I could just not call them and continue feeling like a piece of shit for the rest of my life. But I'm glad I did. Cause I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call and make an appointment. And it was the best call I've ever made in my life. Like, like I still remember like walking through City thinking about like, should I call psych services? Do I even need psych services? Do I need therapy? And then I was like, oh yeah, you definitely need therapy. And then that's how it started. That's how I got my start in like self-healing and like talking about my mental illness. That's when I got diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And then it was just, I think my life has been better since. It's better in that I know how to cope with it better. Like things are still going to be hard, guys. Like life will still beat you down, but you're not as, it doesn't get easier, but you definitely deal with it better. If that makes any sense. Like it will.
It's not going to destroy you.
It's not going to destroy you as badly.
As badly as
before, but you will be better. You'll be stronger. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. But that's true. But you need to take that step. And if you're thinking about that step and getting help, please take this as a sign from the universe.
You should go.
That you should go. We are telling you.
You should make the phone call you want to make.
Phone call
you
about to make.
Have the conversation.
Or if you can't, have that conversation with that person you want to have. Or if you can't afford therapy, I think we should research the. There's a way, I think.
There's Google out there.
There's Google, but obviously there's always the suicide hotline. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think we're going to close it out here in a second. But thank you so much for listening to mm-hmm. Boys Do Cry. We will be uploading, or we will be doing this every week, right?
What day is it today? Every Thursday.
Are we releasing this on Thursday? We're recording on Thursday, but do we even have everything ready?
Or should we do it on a Friday?
We'll upload it. Well, just for sure, there's going to be one every week.
Yeah.
And we will have guests on, and we'll have more unified topics. Or if you want to give us an idea or what you guys want us to talk about, you could just get the Anchor app and leave a voice message. Because that's what we upload on. We upload on Anchor, but like it goes everywhere. You should be listening to this on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We will have guests talk about their own trauma or leave a voice message of saying your shit. Like if you just want to say something, like you want to reach out to us, we would love to hear it. If you don't want it aired, please say so. But we're here to listen. And I don't know if we could reply, but we could just say your name and be like, yeah, we listened to your message mm-hmm. and we hear you. We're here for you.
Yeah.
Where can we find you, Paulina, on social media?
If you go on Instagram, it's El Nopal Verde.
How do you spell that?
ELNOPALVERDE.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just making sure the people don't.
And the green cactus.
Wait, on Twitter? Are you active on Twitter?
I am, but I think just Instagram for now.
Yeah, same. I mean, I'm on Instagram at _ Ramuel, RAMUEL. And also that's my Twitter handle. But I'm on a quote unquote social media break. I'm not
but
doing.
But you always post.
I only post. I never read now. That's when I've been trying to get off, but I'm doing a bad job at curbing my addiction. But also you could find me on Medium. I write a lot about, I actually wrote a piece about suicide about after Anthony Bourdain died. And you could find me on Medium, Ramuel Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, and read my stuff. But yeah, you want anything to say?
Do you have any parting words, Ram? Any parting advice?
Parting advice?
Yeah.
Take care of yourselves. Don't be so hard on yourself. Take a walk. Just take a walk. Before you do that thing that you think you're going to do, just take a walk a little bit, breathe, and you're going to be fine. We're all going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, how about you?
I would say be kind to yourself.
Yeah, be kind.
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you next week. And this has been Boys Do Cry.